All right, so we can finally stop picking on the Rambam a little bit. It's very interesting. I met with a fellow this week. About 10 years younger than myself. He was describing to me how he went through this stage where he felt that he was totally consumed by rational philosophy and rational thought, and how his whole world became the Rambam for a period of time, and how it became very crushing for him, very paralyzing in his Avodas Hashem. I said, oh, it's funny that you mention it, because I've been learning with some Chavra the Shomer Amunim, which he had never heard of. And I said, and in the last couple of weeks, we've been picking on the Rambam and grappling with the question, did the Rambam learn Kabbalah? Does it matter if the Rambam learned Kabbalah? Right, and last week, if you remember, I was taken by the Lashon of where he said, you know, if you want to believe certain things about what the Rambam knew or didn't know, fine, you're welcome to believe those things. But sof kol sof, his punchline really was that it doesn't really matter whether or not the Rambam learned Kabbalah or not. We don't have to try to come up with a funny tradition that makes the Rambam into a makubal at the end of his life. We don't need to do any of that. We need to just live with the fact that so many other Rishonim, the Raivah, the Rokeach, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, so many other had a Masorah. So you either have to call all of them liars, and they're saying ideas, espousing ideas which are, you know, fiction, or you have to say the Rambam simply didn't have the Masorah of Kabbalah, which is fine. The Rambam didn't have to have the Masorah of Kabbalah, and there's many reasons why, you know, again, historically why he didn't, and Alpi Pnimius why the Rambam didn't have the Masorah of Kabbalah. Right, and Sof Kol Sof, he ended off last time, and Birtz Hashem, some of us will have the chance to learn it tomorrow morning, the Ramban in Parshas Vayera, and no, it's not this week's Parsha, it's next week's Parsha, but the Ramban in Parshas Vayera, who really battles the Rambam on certain passages in the Torah. Did Avram really talk to Malachim? Did Bilam really have a talking donkey? Did Yaakov really fight with a Malach? Is everything taking place in a dream? Did Kabbalah Satorah take place in a dream? Did Kriyas Yamsov take place in a dream? Where do you draw the line between what's real and what's fiction? Okay, so let's go on with Os Yud Dalet on the bottom of page Lamed Dalet. Okay, oh, you have a copy? Chavot. Okay, page Lamed Dalet at the bottom. Okay, Os Yud Dalet Shaltiel asks the following question: V'halo gan b'sifrei ha'mekubalim yesh kama dvarim zarim. There's certain ideas that are very strange. Kabbalah is like a whole different language. It's a very strange idea. Menagdim el aseichel. And they contradict rational thought at times. And Shaltiel pretends, I don't say pretends, that's too cynical. I shouldn't have said it that way. Shaltiel asserts that, I've asked, you know, I want to learn, I'm asking. I asked certain mekubalim, certain chachamim, to try to explain certain concepts. Ve'ein meshiv li davar hagun. Turn to the top of the next page. And I don't feel that they have sufficient answers. And sometimes when I ask my questions, I feel that in fact, the more I try to understand, the less I understand. Yigdal hatema. Just, I feel like questions lead to more questions, which lead to more questions. It seems like a very convoluted world, that ocean of Kabbalistic thought. So Yehoyada answers, in a way, again, I find this answer to resonate in the deep way. MS, he writes, it's true. Sheyesh devarim b'chachma zos shelo yavinam ela hamamik b'tochios ha-chachma, which we'll see. He's going to say it a few different ways, but the klal, I think, is you can't learn any wisdom as an outsider. It's very hard to have an authentic experience if you're going to experience it superficially. In other words, if you want to know what it means to experience people, let's say a person's a real misnagid, he doesn't like chassidus, right? So why doesn't he like chassidus? For whatever reason, but if he wants to, let's imagine now he's open, he wants to, so then he has to experience it from within. You have to throw yourself into it. You have to immerse yourself in it. There's a great part, I'm just remembering, there's a vart from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. It's a great vart. In Parshas B'Shalach, when Bnei Yisrael are trying to find some water to drink, and the water is very bitter, trying to find something to drink. The pasuk says, "B'shalach tesvav pasuk chafhei." Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, you know, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, the great Gaon of Basin, Dayan of London, then Yerushalayim, Sefer Tzadik Levracha. He said, "I saw once in a sefer. This is a sefer called Pnine Rabbeinu Yecheskel, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. Collected teachings from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky." So he says, "I once saw the following drush. The Jewish people come. They say to Moshe, 'V'yalonu ha'am al Moshe lemor manishta.'" Vayitzak el Hashem, vayoreyu Hashem eitz, vayashlech el amayim, vayimtiku amayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them, or taught them about a particular tree, a particular branch, a particular herb. You throw it into the water, and it's sweet in the water. So Yecheskel Abramsky said, sometimes a person comes to engage in the mayim, which is Torah, in mayim el Torah. V'lo yachlu lishlos mayim yimara kimarim hen. You can't drink water. Al Shem Tov said, "Kimarim heim," because you're bitter. Right? They couldn't drink the water Kimarim heim because they were bitter. If you have a bitter taste in your mouth, whatever you put in your mouth is going to taste bitter. But that's not Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky's way. So he says, a person comes to engage in Torah, and they find Torah bitter. They find Torah bitter. So, v'yoreyu Hashem eitz. Not a Kodesh Baruch who showed them or taught them about a particular tree, but v'yoreyu Hashem eitz. Hashem gives an eitzah. Hashem says, you know what your problem is with Torah? You're not really immersing yourself in it. Vayashleich al amayim, vayashleich al, throw yourself into the water, vayimtiku amayim, and then the water will become sweet. In other words, I always explain this part. Imagine, you know, your friends got to the pool a little bit early, you know, the chevra's swimming around already, right? And you're dipping your little toe into the water, and you're like, oh, it's kind of cold. They're like, just jump in. If you just jump in and swim around for 2 minutes, you'll warm up, you'll have a great time. So sometimes we try to, we're like tiptoeing around Torah, and we're like, I don't know, Torah's not my thing. How much are you actually learning? How much are you learning? When a guy says, Gemara is not my thing, how many daf have you learned in your entire life? Of the 2,711 pages of Shas, how much have you experienced to even be able to make such a chutzvedik, gaivedik statement? You don't even know anything about it. You never even met it. You already decided it's not my thing. Right? So, along comes Shaltiel, and he says to Yehoyada, you know, I'm trying to understand, and when I ask questions, I find like it just gets more and more confusing. So first of all, says Yehoyada, the truth of the matter is that when it comes to this chachma, the only way to understand it is what? Is if you're mamik b'tochias ha-chachma. You have to go into it. You have to learn the language, as he's about to explain. Now, we also have to understand, k'mo she'amru b'zohar, lav kol mocha u'mocha savil da. Not all minds are able to be sovel this, to be able to grasp this. Right? Not everyone who wants to get involved is able to get involved. Ele inun chakimun kadishin. A person has to be royal lakach. However, amnam, shar rov in yaneha chachma, but most of the ideas upon which this system of chachma is built, muvanim heim belishum zaris laman da aisle v'nafik. If you're willing to go the aisle to enter, nothing and to go out. If you're willing to give it a try, and if it doesn't go the first time, try to go again. If you're willing to immerse yourself in it, you'll see that it's not so strange. So initially, it's a bunch of strange terms. It's all these funny words, viros and orain sof and, you know, I don't know, partzufin and all these terms, and they mean nothing to you because you don't have the terminology. And if it seems foreign to you, if the whole world doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense, it's only because you're lacking in understanding. You don't have the prerequisites. You're trying to explain concepts, you don't even know how to translate the words yet. Because let's say a person's a big halachist, he has tremendous mastery of the Dalit Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, he knows every shach and taz. Im yikach biyado eizu sefer shel Kabbalah. If he picks up a Kabbalistic work, it's like reading Chinese. Lahavda. Lo yuchal lahavin advar malburiyam. He doesn't have the training to understand it. Vigam im yishal aleim. And even if he thinks he's asking proper questions to try to understand, he's not even asking on the sugya because he doesn't even understand what he's holding in his hand. lo yuchol lavarim lo, it can't be explained to him. Ulahamidu behem al regal echad. We're talking about a worldview. You can't explain al regal echad. You can't explain it in a moment. Someone was at Ramatul Zilber's chavura this week, the Tuchina Rebbe's chavura, and he was asking him. He was hawking him. He said, what came first? Did the Torah come first or did the neshama come first? What was created first, the Torah or neshama? So Matal kept saying, Kutshabrichu Yisov HaRais Achadu. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. That's a Zohar. It's a Zohar and Acher Emos. Okay, he kept saying, but he kept pushing. The guy kept pushing. Like, but Lamaisa, what was first? And he's, and he, you know, so Matal said, he's like, it's a whole shmooze. I can't, what do you want me to say? I'm gonna tell you. I could probably talk for 100 hours in one direction or another. I mean, I could. He's like, I can't. You're asking me for a one-liner, a meaningful minute soundbite on a sugya which is incredibly deep. We can't do it like that. So a person says, what does it mean? I saw on a sefer it says ze'er anpin. What is there on? We gotta learn it. We gotta really learn it. You can't do it. You can't do it while standing on one foot. You have to misader it in a sensible way to learn it, like you would learn any sugya in a serious way, step by step. First, to get the shakla v'tari down. Then, what does Rashi say? What does Tosfos say? What does the Rambam say? You gotta go slow. V'im yirtza lahakshos kodem sheyilmod. If you don't have the haschala, if you don't have the ikarim, lo yavin me'ola. Then you're trying to learn something in a language that's a language you don't speak. And then he says, and by the way, this is not a Kabbalistic problem. That's why I like what he says here. Ve'ein inyan zeh noig dafka b'chachmas ha-kabbalah, elohu adin b'chol shara chachmas. Just because you've been initiated into a certain way of thinking. In other words, you're a neurosurgeon. You're an incredible neurosurgeon. You have incredible medical knowledge. You don't know the first thing about finance. You don't know the first thing about corporations. Right? Does that mean corporations is not a real thing? That means, Rav Mordechai Gifter said, I don't think he said it about this yeshiva / university. But the idea is true about the notion of yeshiva university. He said, Rav Gifter said once about the challenge, I'm not going to say the impossibility, but the challenge of being in yeshiva and in college at the same time. Rav Gifter said, it's not to say, I mean, the very firm way to say it is college is krum. College has no place. College is, I want to get a parnassa. I want to have a career. Okay, is every class that I take, career oriented? Maybe yes, maybe not. Depends on what you're studying and what you're majoring in and where you go to college. Right? Rav Gifter said, lu yitzur, that college is chashiv, and obviously learning Torah is chashiv. So Rav Gifter said, Harvard law school is chashiv. Harvard medical school is chashiv. But you can't be enrolled in both at the same time. They wouldn't let you. It's not that they don't, not that they're not both important. It's hard to be in both at the same time. It's hard to be the greatest neurosurgeon in the world and also the greatest lawyer in the world. It's not. So if a person doesn't have a hakdama to a certain area of knowledge, you could be brilliant in a certain area. You could be the greatest gadol in Nigla and not know the first thing about Nistar. And he quotes the Rambam of all people, the Rambam in the Hagdam, in the Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Aleph and Perek Lamed Daled. We'll get to the Hagdam of the Rambam in a second. The Hamayinim b'chachmos b'liatzos, if a person immerses in wisdom without the necessary prerequisites, yischadshu lahem sveikos v'kushios shelo yuchulatir. You're going to end up, of course, caught in the thicket. You're not going to be able to answer questions. You're going to have all sorts of doubts. You'll end in a state of confusion and you'll come up with falsified ideas, corrupt ideas. You'll pervert the truth of those ideas. So let's learn a beautiful mashal from the Rambam himself in the Hagdama to the Parasha Mishnah to capture this idea. Okay? And again, it really drives home the point that because you don't know something doesn't make it not true. The fact that, I never heard about this. Okay, the Rambam also never heard about this. Right? I find it confusing when I open up Kisvei Ariza, right? Because you don't speak the language. Of course it's foreign to you. But But with humility and diligence, a person can learn the language. So the Rambam brings the following mashal. I'll give you a beautiful mashal. Kigon. Shinishal li'ish me'anche chachmas ha'rafua v'ha'cheshbon v'ha'nigun u'mahir b'chachmas ha'teva u'nevuv u'maschil. Imagine a person who is very, very adept in refua and mathematics and in song. He's a great musician, nigun. Right? And he's very sharp when it comes to all of the natural sciences. He's a person who's a maskil, a person of refined thought. But he doesn't know the first thing about reading the stars. He doesn't know the first thing about astronomy. He could tell you how the liver works. He could tell you how the spleen works. He could tell you how the heart works. He could tell you how Beethoven's compositions, right, make sense. And he can explain them to you even mathematically. There's a math behind music. He can explain that as well. And then you say, well, what's going on? Where's the Big Dipper? Big Dipper, I don't know. Big Dipper, Little Dipper, Dipper Schnipper. I don't know about these things, right? Never heard of these things. So if you ask him, let me ask you a shayla. But no, Marlo, you say to him, Ma to Omer, what would you say? Be'ishu to'ein sheguf Hashem eshanu ro'im ki ilu hi agula katana. That little ball in the sky, that little sphere that we see from great distance, that we call the sun, what would you say if someone told you about that kador, that godol ha-kador hu kegodol kador ha-aretz, mea v'shishim v'shisha pa'am u'shlosh shmini pa'am. That little ball of fire in the sky is 166 and 3/8 times the size of planet Earth. So what would you say? You're a great musician. You know a lot about refuah. You know a lot about certain natural sciences. What would you say if someone told you that they calculated that the size of the sun is 166 and 3/8 the size of planet Earth? And the way that they cheshbon that is because kadur ha'aretz shubidasa asinu kol amidos ha'ela, and this is all measured based on the earth, and we figured out that the kadur sheyesh behakefo arba ve'esrim elef mil, and the earth is 24,000 mil in circumference. V'yal derech hazeh megiel ledas, and based on that we're able to figure out kama milin yesh b'midos godol kadur ha'shemesh. So we say, based on the size of the earth, you went up to the sun, you checked it out, how do you know? What are you talking about? How can a person cheshbon such a thing? Ein safik, sha'ish shehu zacharayon, this very intelligent person, who's very wise in many areas of thought, asher hischil min hachachmos kol ma shamarnu, who's very knowledgeable in all the areas we described, lo yimtza benafsho makum l'kayim zos hamuna. He would say, I can't accept such a thing. I don't see how it's possible for a person to have figured that out. And with such precision, 166 and 3/8 the time of planet Earth? How did you figure that out? This can't be. It's not possible for... It doesn't make sense that someone would have the tools to figure such a thing out. Turning the page. He'll come with, again, with rational thought, with rational argument. He said this whole thing, this whole notion that you can measure the sun, it's not possible. You're standing on your little clod of earth below. You're standing on your little, square tile here down below. And somehow you're able to know the sheer gram hashemesh, the size of the sun. You're able to calculate the hekif of the sun, the circumference of the sun, midas shitcha, the area of the sun. You have all these cheshbonos, all these precise calculations about the sun. How did you figure that out from down here? How were you able to add that up? How did you do that? How is that possible? So a person would say, I can't be mammon in such a thing. This guy's a smart guy. He knows how to perform brain surgery. And yet he can't accept such an idea. And he'll say to you further, the sun is so far away. How do you even know how to compare? We can't even look at the sun. It's too powerful to even look at. And you're telling me you measured it precisely with your little ruler? We can barely understand it other than its rays, which we're experiencing from such great distance. How So who went up there and measured it so precisely? V'yadaktik midaso v'shlosh mine pam, down to a 3/8. Zedavar shav she'ein kamo, it can't be. V'lo yeh belibo safek alios zois hataino b'teila shalo tuchal lios. I can't accept such a thing. It doesn't add up. I don't know how it's even possible. He doesn't have any of the training to figure out how one could come to draw such a precise conclusion from such a great distance. Aval, but let's give him a book. Let's get him started. Aval kishe yargil nafsho belimud sifrei hamidos v'chochmas mashehu roi b'tavnios hakadurios. When he starts to study measurements and he starts to understand the structure of spheres, and he starts to understand the relationship of how a small ball can be measured against the bigger ball, and how we can consider the distance of the sun, and how we can figure it all out using mathematical principles. And then he goes to a more advanced book. He starts off with 2 plus 2 equals 4, and then he goes 4 times 4 equals 16. And before you know it, his mathematics is no longer numbers, and now it's letters. I always respond in the same way. You tell someone a remes. Before he was called Avram, he was called Avram. Avram, tzaddikim say, is Rashi Tevos, Rabos, Machshavos, Belevish. Yeah, Avram. Rashi Tevos, Rabos, Machshavos, Belevish. Yeah? You got it? Rabos, Machshavos, Belevish. Right? So a person who's uninitiated says, that's so silly. Why is it silly? First of all, he says, what's the connection? Right. You're figuring out the sun from standing down here. What's the connection to a pasuk and Mishlei? His name's Avram, so Rabbos Machshavos. What does that have to do with anything? How does that teach me anything about Avram or Avraham? And more than that, you know why I don't like this remez? It's not in order. It's not in order. Right. Rabbos starts with a resh. Machshavos is a mem, so resh mem. Rabbos Machshavos belev ish beit resh mem beis aleph. His name's not Ramba. His name's Avram. It's out of order. So, you say to that person, let me ask you something. When you first started learning mathematics, how did it work? All your problems were in order, right? Everything was read in order. So 2 plus 2, you read it from left to right, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You do the problem. What happens when you start mixing up addition with multiplication? What happens when you start throwing in some X's and Y's? You always do the problem from left to right? No. There's an order of operations. You jump around. So which is on a higher level, 2 plus 2 equals 4? Or when you're bouncing around trying to string it together, it's a deeper level, right? It doesn't look as nice and neat on the surface, but you have to learn. There's a way to dissect it, right? There's an order of doing things. You don't just do things in a linear fashion. Right? That's overly simplistic. That's where it begins. But as it gets more complex, right? Kolel, you add one in gematria, it's off by one. Maybe it's less serious than a precise gematria. Maybe it's much more serious. Maybe it reveals something much deeper. Right, so, but the uninitiated person, he looks at it from his distant perspective, and he says, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how that could be. There's a great mashal that the altar of Nevardek brings in the Hakdama to the Madrega Sa'adam. The Hakdama to the Madrega Sa'adam, the altar of Nevardek, gives a mashal of a person who's never seen an airplane before. Right. Never seen an airplane before. It's really this mashal of the Rambam. Never seen an airplane before. Two guys are standing outside, and one of them says to his friend, look, an airplane. So he says, what's an airplane? He says, it's like a flying metal box in the sky. And he says, that's interesting. Well, what's in that box? Right. Hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. That little thing in the sky's got hundreds of people. What are those tiny little people doing? No, regular people. Regular people, like me and you. Yeah, regular people. What are they doing up there? I don't know. They're eating. Some guys are doing daf yomi. Some guys are watching a movie pretending to do daf yomi. Yeah. People are doing lots of things up there. How good is such a tiny thing? Obviously, it's because his perspective is warped. As the plane gets closer and closer and closer, you see it's actually much bigger and bigger and bigger than you originally thought. Says the altar of Nevardek, that's what Torah is. You look at Torah, 5,845 psukim. That's the whole book. 5,845 psukim. There's more verses in the Sefer Shomer Amunim than there's in the Bible. The whole Chumash. Chamishu Chumshei Torah. It's tiny. It's a tiny Sefer. And yet, the more you go into it, and the more you go into it, and the more you go into it, it opens it up, and it opens it up, and it opens it up, and there's Pshat, and there's Remez, and there's Drush, and there's Sod, and there's Chasidus. And there's levels and there's levels and there's levels. Right? But to an outsider, it's very easy to be cynical and make leitzanis. But it's not your tchum, it's not your place to say. Rav Shechter always says, in halacha, not everyone's entitled to an opinion. You're not a posek just because not everyone is entitled to an opinion. I know that sounds like a very, undemocratic idea, but not everyone is equally entitled to an opinion. You're welcome to say whatever you want, but if we respect the chachma that we're studying, if we're immersing ourselves in it in an honest way, not everyone's opinion is treated equally. Rav Shechter always talks about the fullness of Torah and how everything is connected to everything else. And how a person has to have a mastery of the full picture of Torah to be able to comment on anything. Sfas Emes said, I don't feel comfortable giving advice. When people would ask the Sfas Emes for advice, he would say, I can't give advice. You know why? Because I don't know the entire Shulchan Aruch Baal Peh. And I'm scared if I give you advice, that's against the halacha. You have to know everything to say anything? In a certain level, yes. It's all one big giant sugya. Right? So a person who's uninitiated, right? And sometimes we do it in such a gaivadik way. That's why we have to really check ourselves a little bit. We really, really have to check ourselves. I remember I try to be very respectful and gentle with people who say stupid things. But I remember one time when I taught in high school, there was a kid who was being like really disrespectful of Torah. He's like, that's so stupid. Rabbi, that's so stupid. Whatever it was that we learned. I was like, you have to understand what you just did. I didn't embarrass him, but it was a stark musser. I was careful not to embarrass him. But I said it in a strong, much stronger way than I usually would. I said, you have to understand what you just did. You literally just walked into an operating room. You're not even a med school student. You can't even pretend like you're in the sugya. You just walked into an operating room where a doctor's performing brain surgery or open heart surgery, and you looked over and you're like, yeah, I don't see that. That doesn't make sense. I said to him, have you read through the Chumash from beginning to end? No. Have you read through Tanakh? No. Have you finished the Shulchan Aruch? No. Have you read Shas? No. So what? Where are you coming from? We're studying the greatest people who dedicated their whole life to this system of wisdom. Have the humility to at least read it. Read through the Bible in English before you start commenting, this is so stupid or that's so stupid. That Rashi makes no sense. Rashi's whole life was Torah. Who are you? You're a 10th grade kid. So have a little humility. So that's what the Rambam is saying here. Right? The Rambam himself is saying, a person who's very smart might enter into an area of wisdom that is unfamiliar to him, and he's uninitiated. But give him a couple of books, he starts to understand the structure of spheres and the relationship, right, of different things. And all of a sudden he starts to understand, oh, maybe it is possible for a person to cheshbon from a distance, right? Maybe it is possible for a person to figure out the dimensions of the sun from great distance. Yeah, the line that begins Kashir Hazeh. V'yargil sichlo laha min hadavar shayi b'tchila marchek harchak gadol. He gives other examples. He says eventually he'll learn the Sefer, the Alchemist, Almagisti was a Greek, some Greek math science sefer. You'll give him one book and he'll go to the next book. Eventually he'll understand it like a person who gets it. And he'll come to realize that it's possible to figure these things out from great distance. I have a Yamin Ba'amuna Gemura, and that which initially he said is impossible to know, now it's perfectly logical to him. It adds up perfectly. So he writes, Hine ze yochol lios. This is able to be yuchal lios. Va'anachnu lo eskamnu al ish. Shesha'alnu hu ze ha'inyen. Shia chaser min ha'chachmos ha'cheros. Aval shia tov ha'seichel v'zach ha'teva v'chacham. Again, who is the example that we started with? We're talking about a very intelligent individual with mastery in many areas of wisdom, who we asked a question about an area outside of his field of knowledge. We asked him about divinity. He said, divinity? I don't know about divinity. You ask a person, tell me about God. God? I don't know about God. What do you know about? I don't know about the stock market. Okay. So then you probably shouldn't have strong opinions about God because you're not holding in the sugya of God. You know Gemara, but you don't know Kabbalah. That's okay. So Kal v'chomer, he writes, Kal v'chomer yeh inyan b'misha ein lo chachma klal. So we have to ask ourselves, right? Are we even in the category of people who have mastery of any area of wisdom? Again, the Rambam is, and this is still the Rambam talking in the Hagdama to the Perish Mishnah. The Rambam is saying, you could have a person who's brilliant in one area and is totally clueless in another area. Efshar lios, so kal v'chomer, a person who's not so smart at all to begin with, v'lo hirgil nafsho b'derach midarchei achachmos, who's not an intelligent person, who hasn't trained his mind to study deeply, we're talking about a person who's traveled, so to speak, from the intellect of his mother to the intellect of his wife. In other words, from the time he was born to the time he got married, he's been basically the same little baby in terms of his intelligence, the Rambam says. Yeah, a person is not, he's not knowledgeable. So if you ask him to try to explain godliness, ain't safik shem rechokim be'inov, he says, God, prove it. What God? I don't see God. How can you tell me anything about God? You've met God. I ask you like the silly questions. You've seen God. You can prove God. And he can't begin to. He simply doesn't have the intellectual capacity, not in this area, not in any area, to really grasp. So he writes in the bottom paragraph. So again, if all of this is true about comparing one wisdom to another area of wisdom, kal v'chomer ben benoshal kal v'chomer b'chachma niskava kazos, all the more so when meirosh we call this area of Torah the deepest area of Torah. When someone says, you know, that's not pshat, that's true. It's not pshat. It's much deeper than pshat. There's pshat, there's remez, there's drush, and there's sod. This is a deeper dimension of Torah. So if you're going to approach it with pshat, that's true, it's not going to make any sense. If you approach it with the right tools, the right metrics to understand it, with the right language, so then you'll be able to grasp it. But kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer, when we deal with such deep wisdom, ki heich yuchal mishu hu neyor v'reik mimena, a person who is empty, right? Neyor, he's shaken out from this, he's been removed from it entirely. It's impossible to have in take of umiyad dvarm amukim ke'elu. You're not going to become a Kabbalist overnight. Do you realize that everything in Kisvei Arizal is called hakdamos? The whole thing is called introductions. It never actually starts. The Shar HaNun, I mentioned this morning, we were learning more of a Shemesh, right? The Chiddush Arim says on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says there's 50 gates of understanding, 50 gates of Bina. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood what? Chamishim chaser achas. Moshe understood 50 minus 1. All right, so the pshat is Moshe got to level 49. You don't understand level 50. But the Chiddush Arim, the Ger Rebbe said, no, you know what level 50 is? Level 50 is chaser achas, that I haven't even reached one. Whether you say that means I haven't even started, that's one way to say it, or I'll never reach the one. If my measuring rod is I'm measuring up against Echad Yachad Umyuchad HaYehovah V'yeh Hashem, the Ore Ein Sof, the infinity of Elokos, of Torah, so of course, the highest level is the realization that I haven't even begun, that it's endlessly deep. So comes along Sha'altiel, and he's asking, you know, the more I start to learn, the more I get confused. Well, maybe be a little more patient, go a little deeper, realize that it's not all contradictions, you just have to learn the language, you have to become familiar with the concepts. Again, have the humility to listen, to receive. That's why it's called Kabbalah. Open your hands and receive. So therefore, don't be bothered by the fact that there's a lot of things you don't understand so quickly. Of course it's hard. You're learning a very deep wisdom. And don't try to, again, measure the worthiness of this wisdom based on your assessment when you haven't even reached their ankles. Ki liban shal rishonim kepischo shal ulam v'shal achronim eino afilu kamalo machat tzedakis. Right, if the hearts of the earlier ones was open like the Pesach shal ulam, and the later ones are open maybe halavai like the eye of a needle. So then, therefore, be very careful not to be burnt. Paraphrasing Pirkei Avos. Be very careful. Don't be so quick. Right? Don't be so quick to say, you know, the Rizal makes no sense. Yizal makes no sense, or you make no sense. Someone once came to the Ragachar. Ragachar was very sharp. With Yosef Rosen. So the Ragachar one time, someone said to him, they were trying to sound smart, but like, that itself was a very terrible idea. The Ragachar knew everything. Cold. Ragachar knew everything. Someone said to the Ragachar, they were trying to talk in learning. The Ragachar couldn't talk with anyone in learning. He ripped everyone to shreds. So one time, someone said to the Ragachar, he was trying to sound smart, he's like, yeah, I think you could bring a proof from a far out Yerushalmi. The Ragachar was like, he probably didn't say it in this nosach, he's like, brother, you know, Yerushalmi's not far out, you're far out. Like, what do you mean, Yerushalmi's Yerushalmi, the far out Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi's not out there, Yerushalmi's the center of the universe. Torah's the center of reality. You're far out. So be careful. Be careful how we're so quick to judge sometimes because we don't understand anything. It's our own insecurities about approaching a very deep wisdom that for whatever reason, some people are afraid to learn. And the goal is to get over that fear and with humility to learn the language slowly, appropriately, in a way that's age appropriate, with the svarim that are appropriate for each person. Amnam, but he concludes, Im tirtza lahavin ulahamik. B'sifrei ha-mekubal, the last line of the page is cut off, so I'll just read it to you out of the Sefer. If you want to understand and delve deeply into this svarim, so then, first, tilmod ikari ha-chochma ha-zos, v'haktam oseh, learn the fundamentals, get the basics, understand the prerequisites, understand the introductions, and do so b'hadraga, right? Madrega acha madrego, v'seder ha-ra'oi, v'azai ta'amod al-kavanasa, you'll come to understand it, it'll make a lot of sense. And all these things that are so foreign and so strange, right, these concepts that we almost mock because of our lack of knowledge will become incredibly clear to you. I want to just end with a beautiful remez from the Sefer Paneach Raza. I don't ever hear that Sefer Paneach Raza. You heard it? Yeah? You have it?
I heard it from Rav
Davidov, of course. All the good things come through Rav Davidov. Okay, so Paneach Raza. Paneach Raza was a 13th century Balei Tosfos. One of the Balei Tosfos, a French Rishon, Rav Yitzchak ben Yehuda HaLevi. So he writes an incredible idea, an incredible remez. And again, if you're a person who appreciates these things, you'll say, ah, gewaltig. And if you're a person who's cynical and doesn't appreciate these things, you'll say, cute. It's cute. It's cute remez. Here's what he says. The Pasuk says in Hazinu, regarding the Torah, ki lo davar reik humikem, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Mem Zayin. Ki lo davar reik humikem. What's it talking about? Talking about the Torah. Ki lo davar reik humikem, ki hu chayechem. Uvedavar hazeh tarichu yam al adam asher tem over masayardin shamal erishtan. Take the Torah seriously, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hazino is a beautiful poem, but it's also a scathing Musar Shmuz. You should know Torah is not an empty thing. There's consequences. Keeping Torah, not keeping Torah. It's not a joke. Ki lo davar reik humikem. It's not an empty thing. Ki hu chayechem. Your life is dependent upon it. Uvedavar hazeh tarichu yamim. Chavetz Chaim said, I'll tell you the Chavetz Chaim first, then I'll tell you the Paneach Raza. Chavetz Chaim, I saw this quote in the Sefer Megid Givos Olam. Chavetz Chaim said that ki lo davar reik humikem, we sometimes foolishly look at Torah as if it's extra credit. Sometimes we say, you know what, Torah is good, but it's not essential. In other words, why is it that when it's midterm season, guys stop coming to shir sometimes, right? And they put more time into their secular studies. Now, we all understand why that is, right? But as a value statement, that's a very sad statement. What you're saying is Torah is extra, Torah is negotiable, and my college work is non-negotiable. So if something has to give, right, shir is the thing that has to give. No one says it b'zeh lashon, right? But a little bit, that's what a person's saying. Right? If something has to give, night seder will give. I can cancel my night seder out, you know, to go to the ball game. Right? Okay. So Chavetz Chaim says sometimes we look at Torah as, and that, now that person says Torah is great, Torah is chashuv, but it's you know, it's extra. If I get it, it's extra credit, it's extra points, it's good, it's meaningful, earn some schar, but it's negotiable. So Chavetz Chaim said ki lo davar reik humikem. You have a soda bottle of water, right? And you look on the side, and it says 5 cent or 10 cent refund. In other words, the empty bottle, why do you have a bottle? What do you want with this bottle? You probably want the drink that's inside of it. You're thirsty, so you bought a bottle of water. Right? But even after you've consumed its contents, the bottle itself, the rake, the empty bottle, is still worth something. It's worth, first and foremost, the 5-cent refund in certain states. But more than that, you can refill it. Right? You can cut it in half and make a little art project out of it. There's things you can do with it. It has its own value. It's not the main thing. But it's still, even as an empty bottle, it's still worth something. It says the Chafetz Chaim, ki lo dava reiku mikem. Ki lo dava reiku mikem. What does that mean? How do you think Chafetz Chaim says it? If a person doesn't have Torah, so what does he say about himself? He says, you know what? If I had Torah, so then I'd be like a full bottle. But I'm still an empty, even if I'm empty of Torah, so but I'm still worth something. I'm like the empty bottle, that's still worth the 5-cent refund. Again, it costs $1.50, $2 when its contents are within. But when it's empty, it still has value. So Hashem says, no, ki lo dava reiku mikem. A Jew's life without Torah is not even an empty bottle. You're not even worth the 5-cent refund. You've ki hu chayechem, because your life is dependent upon it. Your entire existence. You can't say, I know I'd be worth more if I had Torah, but I'm still worth something without Torah. Unfortunately, it's Chafetz Chaim said, no, a Jew has to realize my life is dependent upon Torah, that I'm not even worth the 5-cent refund without it. But the Paneach Raza in Parshas Hazinu brings a remez. He says, the gematria of the words, ki lo dava reiku mikem, is 679. He says, unfortunately, people often poke fun at gematrias and say, gematrias are empty things. Even Rishonim, some Rishonim, Ibn Ezra made a lot of fun of gematrias. Ibn Ezra said, you could say whatever you want with gematria. I don't think that's true. I think there's rules for gematria. You can't say whatever you want. I'm very, what do they call it? Like the different ways to interpret the Constitution? What's like the more, yeah, I'm like a more traditionalist. I have a more traditionalist approach to gematria. I don't like when people say funny phrases and words. I'm very strict. I'm very machmir on gematrias. I love gematrias, but there's rules to gematria. But you can say anything you want with gematrias. Right? So sometimes people say, gematria, it's a silly thing. It's a davar reik. It's an empty thing. So says the Paneach Raza, the gematria of ki lo dava reiku mikem is 679, is gematria of the word gematrios. Gematrios is 679. So for the people who say gematria is an empty thing, you should know that gematrios itself is gematria ki lo dava reiku mikem. But I'll end with what the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Medrash Bereishis Rabba says on that pasuk as well. And I think it's really the main point of what we learned tonight. Ki lo dava reiku mikem. The way the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Medrash have a very Hasidish interpretation of this pasuk. Talmud Yerushalmi says, "Ki lo dava reik." Torah is not an empty thing, and if you think it's reik, if you think it's reiku, it's mikem. It's from you. It's your fault. It's not Torah's fault. It's your chisa. It's a very Hasidish bar, no? Ki lo dava reiku, and im reiku mikemu. If it's empty, it's because you're empty. The Yerushalmi is not far out, you're far out. If Kabbalah seems strange and unusual, if the terminology doesn't work for you, it's because you're uninitiated. There's nothing broken about Kabbalah. The system's a beautiful, very precise system with very clear rules. Right? And I'll ask next time, but what about all the machlokas within Kabbalah? Obviously, you'll push back and say, well, what about all the machlokas in Gemara? Right? What about all the machlokas in Halacha? That's not a very strong question. Right? But on the surface, it looks like a very convoluted system. It's only because you're not trained. If you know math and you don't know music, so of course you're not going to be able to comment intelligently about how music theory works. But if you learn the system from within, he says, and that's how he began this whole passage, if you study it from within, you'll see that it's a beautiful and very sensible and very deep area of Torah. Okay, so stop here for tonight.